Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference one word at a time. Now, here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
All right, so today we're talking about fibromyalgia, and I have a great expert with us to talk about this, Dr. Barbara K. Bruce. She's a clinical health psychologist in the Mayo Clinic Department of Psychiatry and Psychology and Associate Professor of Psychology at the Mayo Clinic College of Science and Medicine, Mayo Clinic. Dr. Bruce has spent her entire career in the field of pain management. She's currently at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, where she's developed and leads its fibromyalgia and chronic abdominal pain treatment programs. Dr. Bruce, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
This is such a great book. I knew so little about fibromyalgia before I picked this up. I just knew it's often misdiagnosed, misunderstood. It's difficult to diagnose. And I've heard from friends that doctors have often sent them away and said, you know, it's all in your head. So I'm going to recommend this book to them, number one. But let's begin with why it's so challenging to diagnose and difficult to understand. And I guess the place to start with that is, what is fibromyalgia?
Fibromyalgia is a chronic disorder. It's been around for decades under different names. It is characterized by widespread pain and fatigue, and upwards to 10 million Americans have it. It is difficult to diagnose, primarily because there's been a lot of misunderstanding about the disorder, and healthcare providers and people who love my patients, and certainly in the internet. So there's lots of confusion about it, but the science is starting to help us to understand that it is a real physical disorder, not a mental health disorder, and that the symptoms and pain that patients are having is real, and we have discovered strategies to help patients to feel better.
Right, and so you've written this great book. It's called Guide to Fibromyalgia, Strategies to Take Back Your Life. I've heard you say that fibromyalgia is not an inflammatory or autoimmune disorder, has nothing to do with the typical rheumatoid diseases we think of as well. So is that where a lot of the confusion is?
There is some confusion there, and rightfully so. Fibromyalgia, the symptoms of fibromyalgia, the pain and fatigue can certainly overlap with and look a lot like other rheumatologic diseases like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus. So often a rheumatologist may get involved in trying to make the diagnosis in order to see, is this some other disease or is it fibromyalgia or is it both? Because you can have RA or lupus plus fibromyalgia. So that's at least part of the confusion, for sure.
I've also heard you say that there's some correlation maybe between fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome.
You know, it's very interesting. The science is telling us that what may be causing fibromyalgia are changes in the central nervous system, in particular the sensory system. The same central sensitization or changes in the central nervous system are thought to cause chronic fatigue as well. There are a number of other pain disorders that we think that scientists think are caused by central sensitization, including irritable bowel syndrome, interstitial cystitis, chronic headaches, TMJ, temporomandibular joint pain. So there seem to be some commonalities between all of these disorders in that they think there is a common cause.
Right. So when somebody comes to you for the first time, what are some of the things you look at with them, Dr. Bruce?
Generally, patients come to me. I'm a pain psychologist, so I've seen thousands of patients with fibromyalgia. I see myself as more of a treatment expert. I'm not the diagnoser. That's my colleagues in internal medicine and in primary care and in rheumatology. So patients come to me with this diagnosis, and what I want to do is talk with them about what we can do to help them to feel better. So sometimes they're skeptical, sometimes they're downright rejecting of such a diagnosis. They want doctors to find something wrong with them that they can cure. Mm-hmm. And when they learn that what they need to do is to manage these symptoms, they are often disappointed. So I want to help them to understand that they can feel significantly better with the tools and strategies that we then talk about.
Right. I understand from the book that women are more likely than men to get fibromyalgia. Why is that?
At Mayo, 85% of the patients with fibromyalgia are women. We don't know why. We always look at sex differences from a lot of different angles. But, you know, one question that comes up a lot is, are women more stressed than men? Another question that comes up is, men don't go to the doctor as much as women. Is it possible that there are more men with this diagnosis that are just not being diagnosed?
Makes sense, yeah. So you just mentioned it's not curable. It has to be managed. Is this the kind of disorder that can flare up and then go into remission, or is it you pretty much have to manage it the whole time?
That's an excellent question as well, because the disorder is really characterized by flares, periods of time when the symptoms seem worse, days, weeks, sometimes months, and then times when it's quieter. I don't really hear the word remission for this disorder like you would a cancer, for example, but it certainly flares are periods of more significant symptoms, often precipitated by stress or a viral illness.
Right. So let's look at some treatments if we can. And I want to begin with cognitive behavioral therapy. One of the misconceptions around, I think, diagnosing fibromyalgia from everything I've read and heard from people who have it is they have a hard time getting people to believe it's not all in their head, first of all. So I'm wondering if when they're presented with cognitive behavioral therapy options, they're like, this isn't in my head.
You're exactly right. The strategies that we use to manage and turn down chronic pain and chronic fatigue and the symptoms of fibromyalgia are based on cognitive behavioral strategies, tools. And what that really means is we're going to talk about the way that you think about this, and we're going to talk about what steps you can take behaviorally to feel better. And so CBT, or cognitive behavioral strategies, are used across medicine as ways of coping with chronic symptoms and illness. And so it really is sort of a foundation for us to begin. For example, the way people think. My patients tend to be very isolated in their disorder. They are often misunderstood, so they pull away. They don't feel good, so they pull away. They're not really excited about the activities that they used to enjoy in their lives, and they pull away. And that isolation causes a lot of focus on the symptoms and the illness and the worry and concern about what's wrong with them. And part of the strategy is to have them begin to shift back into their world, to return to the people that they love and the activities that they've enjoyed in the past, so that they actually are spending less time focused on symptoms and much more time focused on their lives. That's just one of the ways that we sort of try to retrain the brain.
Right. And so let's look at some medicinal options. You talk about pain meds in the book, antidepressants, anti-seizure meds, muscle relaxants. I mean, there are lots of different options there for treatment.
You know, there are a couple of medicines that have been FDA approved for the treatment of fibromyalgia. They're not the painkillers. They're not the opioids. Those actually don't seem to have a role in being helpful in fibromyalgia. You know, we know a lot about those medicines now. There's a lot of talk about opioids and about painkillers, and they certainly have their potential harms. But in the treatment of fibromyalgia, they don't seem to be effective on centrally mediated pain. And so even though fibromyalgia patients may have them prescribed, they're probably not a good choice. But there are some medicines out there that can help. The problem with the medicines primarily is that patients with fibromyalgia are very sensitive, and they're very sensitive to medicines, and so often those medicines are not well tolerated. So we tend to focus more on the lifestyle changes that can make a big difference in how people feel, how much energy they have, and their sleep.
Right. And of course, in your book, Guide to Fibromyalgia, you include integrative medicine too, relaxation tools, moving meditation, massage therapy, acupuncture, hydrotherapy, all things which, you know, make you feel good regardless, right?
They do, but they also calm the central nervous system, which is activated in fibromyalgia. So you're right. But they have kind of a central role in sort of calming the system down that we think is responsible for creating a lot of the intensity of these symptoms.
Mm. I was struck by how much you stressed, keep moving. That's the basic law of physics, right? Use it or lose it. A body in motion stays in motion. But you also said it's very helpful for people to continue working, pushing through that if they can, for some of the reasons you've already talked about, you know, keeping those social connections going.
You know, first I want to just talk about that word exercise. It's the dirtiest word in five. Patients don't want to exercise because they hurt and they're exhausted, and that's the last thing they want to do. But the research is telling us that if we can get patients moving, it actually can have significant beneficial effects on their fatigue, on their pain, and on their quality of sleep. So what we talk about really is pacing. How to approach this in a very low and slow way so that they're not overdoing it and ending up paying for that exertion, but yet they're able to get some conditioning under their belt. The issue with work, it is one that we talk about constantly in class because patients feel that they can't do their best, or they're not keeping up, or they feel like they can't think the way that they did before. Then they get very worried about their performance, and stress just makes their brain work less well, right? Work is a challenge for patients with fibromyalgia, but I think it can be really important as an anchor for staying well and involved and active and engaged.
Yeah.
So if it's possible to modify that work environment such that patients can stay in that, I think it is good for mental health, it's good for physical health.
And you talk about the importance of goal setting when we're looking at managing symptoms. You say goal setting is really important. So talk to us a little bit about that and how you work with your patients to encourage them to set goals.
I think it's one of the hardest things for patients with fibromyalgia, and I think the reason is my patients tend to be pretty driven. They're high-performing people generally before they got ill. They're used to sort of crushing their goals and expectations, and they really struggle with doing a moderate job. In fact, I had a patient recently tell me, moderation, mediocre.
Mm,
that is not true, because with a chronic illness, what I want my patients to do is to approach everything in their life with moderation, not too much, not too little, sort of a cruising speed they can do every day, not do something incredible and then crash and not be able to do anything for weeks to months.
Yeah.
We're really looking for that middle ground. So the goals become so important, but trying to drive home to people what was achievable in what time frame in the past and what's reasonable now with this chronic illness are really quite different. But it's a very hard step to take.
Yes, you talk about balancing time and energy, and I'm guessing the people you surround yourself with is equally as important in that, because it, you know, that helps with stress and mood management too, right?
Absolutely, and the communication, you know, letting the people that you love understand what's going on, what's wrong, what are you learning about fibromyalgia, and what is it that you're trying to do to feel better, and how can they support you in that? I think it is very critical, and in the class that I teach on fibromyalgia, we have family members and loved ones, spouses come with a patient to learn everything as well, so they can be in a position to better support them.
That's awesome. I think that's really important. One of my questions was going to be, how do we talk to family about this? Because I do have a friend with fibromyalgia, and as I kind of loosely touched on, everybody's like, it's in your head. So she's had a very difficult journey persuading them something actually is wrong with her.
And that is not a new story. It is a very hard one. I tell patients, if you had cancer, your friends couldn't quit trying to bring you casseroles and drive your kids to school. But when you tell them you have fibromyalgia, they often are stepping away. Mm. They don't know what it means, and they're not sure what it means about you. And I think education and information, and I tell my patients, not the whole world, just the people you love.
Yes.
Help them understand what's wrong, because those are the people that you need to support you.
So we talked a little about physical activity, the importance of keeping moving, but of course balancing that so we don't overdo it. What about diet? How does nutrition play into fibromyalgia?
You know, it turns out that people would love to have a fibromyalgia diet. and we don't have one.
Right.
People would like a magic bullet, and we don't have that yet either. But at the same time, as I mentioned before, 50% of patients with fibromyalgia have irritable bowel syndrome. And that's a chronic tummy problem with constipation and diarrhea and a stomach ache. And so they are often trying to manage their physical symptoms with diet, and they can get into some pretty restricted diets trying to feel better. We are really advocating good nutrition, good hydration. There is not any single diet that's going to do the whole trick.
What is it you want people to take away from this book? What was your purpose in putting this book together, Guide to Fibromyalgia?
I want patients to have evidence-based, science-based information that's accurate about what is and isn't wrong with them. I want them to know that fibromyalgia is real. I want them to know that it's not in their heads. And I want them to know that there's hope, that we've got good tools with research to support that they can help my patients feel better.
Right. And I mentioned at the beginning that you spent your entire career in the field of pain management. What drove you to go in that direction, Dr. Bruce?
My training was as a health psychologist, and I just had an opportunity to work in a pain clinic early in graduate school, and I was hooked. I wanted to help, and the tools and strategies make such a difference in people's lives that they can get back to the things that they... I see people change. I see people succeed. It's very, very gratifying.
And can I just talk a little bit about the studies that are going on right now? Because, you know, we only know what we know today, right? And when I was looking at your book, I was really surprised you shared the history of fibromyalgia. And I was really surprised by how many different names it has had over the years. So what's really exciting in the way of research right now?
I think that this whole notion of central sensitization and changes in the brain and central nervous system with regard to the sensory system, to me, is fascinating. It's starting to help us understand why are all of these symptoms happening to patients. My patients feel cold intolerant and heat intolerant, and they feel stabbing pain, and they feel swollen, and they feel achy, and they feel the symptoms are just so different, and they are so severe. I think that the research that continues to look at the central nervous system is really going to give us more and more answers.
Well, we're in exciting times with the science that's coming out now. The book is Mayo Clinic Guide to Fibromyalgia Strategies to Take Back Your Life. It's written by my guest, Dr. Barbara Bruce, and her colleague, Andy Abril. And you can find out more about this at mayoclinic.org. A final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with, Dr. Bruce.
I hope that the book will be available for folks at their local bookstore and the library and certainly on the internet. And I hope that patients find that the book gives them hope so that they can have a much better and satisfying life.
Thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Radio is very competitive. Shows soar in popularity and then flame out. Sometimes, however, a real connection is made with an audience, and success blooms year after year. For over a decade, Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has built a loyal following thanks to inspiring and stimulating conversation. Longevity, loyalty, exclusivity. Smart advertisers seek it out. With Vicki's valuable audience, the search is over. Discover the affordable, effective ways to advertise your business. Log on to conversationslive.net. That's conversationslive.net today.